Yeah, we left off by the Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis on the base. We started the Mishnah. One of the regular Mishtatvim in the Shia, Rabbi Ginsberg, who always comes every week, is having a serious operation tomorrow morning. So, Rabbi Ginsberg sits over there, having a serious operation. His name is Avram Yankee Ben Risha Rivka Dvaira. I'm inspired that it should go well, and the learning should be a schus for his refuah. We started the Mishnah on Chav Beis on the Beis, and we got towards the bottom of the Mishnah, the last four lines. Nitpis Minchasa. The Mishnah discusses if you bring the Mincha Saita. So normally you do, whenever you bring a Mincha in the Beis HaMikdash, a Mincha is a Kachi Kachi. All the Karbonos are divided into two categories, Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kalim. There are several differences between Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kalim. One difference is that Me'ila, if someone is Nenem and Ahegdish B'Shoigeg, he has to pay Karim B'Choymish and bring Asham Me'ila, so that only applies if you're Nenem from Kachi Kachim. If you're Nenem from Kachim Kalim, the Din doesn't apply. If you're Nenem from Kachi Berik HaBayis, that's a different story. Kachi Berik HaBayis is a different front. Kachim is Be'ach, is for the purpose of bringing Karbonos. Kachi Berik HaBayis is for fixing Berik HaBayis, fixing up the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. So one difference between Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kam, the Din HaMe'ila. Another difference that we're going to get involved in is Kachi Kachim are only eaten by Kohanim, by Zichrei Kohuna, only by male Kohanim. Kachim Kalim is a Maisa Behema is eaten by an can't be eaten by Nochri, has to be eaten by a Jew, but it doesn't have to be eaten by Dafke by Kohanim. By Kachi Kachim have to Dafke be eaten by Zichrei Kohuna, Dafke in the Azara. Kachim Kalim can be eaten in Yerushalayim. Every carbon has a makam. So the makam of Kachi Kachim is Azara. If you take it out of the Azara, it becomes Nifsal Biyotz, even if you bring it back in, Taignish. And Kachim Kalim, the makam is Yerushalayim. If you take it out, even if you bring it back in, is Nifsal Biyotz, you can't eat it again. So that's going to be relevant here. So normally when a normal person brings a Korban Mincha, normal person means a Levi or a Yisrael as opposed to a Kohen. If any Jewish person brings a Korban Mincha, so you do Kemitza, the Kohen does Kemitza, he throws the Kemitz, he has to put the Kemitz into a Klisharis. The Mincha has to be in a Klisharis, we learned at the beginning of the second parish. The flour has to be in a Klisharis, then you do Kemitza and you put it into a second Klisharis, then you pour it on the B'rech and you burn it. And who eats the Shiorei HaMincha, the Shirayim, Zichrei Kuhne, eat it in the Azar, Yom V'Lai Lat Chatzos. It's a Kachi Kachim. If a Kohen brings a Korban Mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, it says, V'chol Minchas Kohen, Kol Ol Tiyya Loi Teyachol. You don't do Kmitza and burn the Kohen and have the Shirayim eaten by Zichrei Kuhne. You burn the whole thing, you don't bother to do Kmitza because you have to burn the whole Korban. Even if you do Kmitza, it's meaningless. The Kmitza doesn't mean anything. Usually the Tosefta says every step of the way the Kohanim said a bracha when Lushchita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, Hefshet, Nituach, every step, Haktara, every step of the way you have to say a bracha. So normally when you do Kmitza on a Mincha, you say a bracha. So if you have a Minchas Kohen, you're not supposed to do Kmitza. If you're going to say a bracha, it'll be a bracha about Tola. Kmitza is irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything. You have to burn the whole Minchas Kohen, Kol Ol Tiyya. So the Mishnah is going to discuss, what if you have a Kohenes? Which dinim apply to a Kohenes? Let's say Pidyon HaBen. Are you Yotze if you give Pidyon HaBen money to a Kohenes? So that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. That's a Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. The Rambam gives you a list of the 24 Matnas Kohuna. The Gemara says in several places there are Chof Dalet Matnas Kohuna. There are more than 24 Matnas Kohuna. So obviously they're combining a few together when they make the calculation. So the Gemara talks about the 24 Matnas Kohuna. So the Rambam lists them all off. And he lists off which ones can be given to Kohanos and which ones cannot be given to Kohanos. Truma you can give to a Kohen or a Kohenes. Either can eat the Truma. Pidyon HaBen is machlokes, because the Rambam says you cannot give Pidyon HaBen money to a Kohenes, and Tosfos says that you can. Zvor L'Chayayim V'Hakeva, whenever you shecht the behemah, you have to give the Zvor L'Chayayim V'Hakeva to the Kohanim. So that the Gemara said beferish, that you can even give to a Kohenes, and even if the Kohenes is married to a non-Kohen, even if the Kohanis is married to a non-Kohen, she's no longer allowed to eat truma. If a Kohanis marries the bas Kohen, is permitted to eat truma. But the minute that she marries a non-Kohen, she marries a Levi or Israel, as long as she's married to him, she's not allowed to eat truma. If she gets divorced, or if the husband dies, the shava based avir kin derem elechem avir techel, she can go back to eat the truma again. Because now she's married to the non-Kohen, she's not allowed to eat truma. Nonetheless, the Gemara says beferish, you can give her the zrala chayim v'hakeva, even when she's married to the non-Kohen. Her husband may eat it. Yes, the Gemara says you give it to the husband. He's kind of for the wife, and he eats it. That's the Gemara in the end of Chulin.
Usually, you have to follow the husband.
Yeah, ishtekigufay. What's taka the machlokes? The Rambam and Tosfos, whether you can give pidyon and ben money to a kohenis, or you yotzei. The feminists didn't pick up yet on that. Everything else they already did. They had mohalos. They had moha. There's a machlokes in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chav Zayin whether isha ksheir alamol or not. A nochri is not kosher alamol. A goy cannot do a bris mila. So Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Why? Because the goy doesn't have the mitzvah of mila, so he can't serve as the mor. So women don't have the mitzvah of mila either. But they don't, it's not shaykh. So it's a machlekes in the Gemara. Which pasuk? No. So the Gemara says either pshat is, but tichrais is orlas benoah means that she did it, or but tichrais means she saw to it that there was a Jew around, a Jewish man around, she arranged that a Jewish man did it. The Gemara claims that that's a machlekes. Whether at tichrais she actually did the bris mila herself on the baby, or she got a Jewish man to do the bris mila. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Zayin when they say a nochri cannot perform the bris mila. And if a nochri, sometimes they have a doctor in the hospital, a non-Jewish doctor does the circumcision. So there's a machlekes, and we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, you have to do a hatafas dam bris. You have to have a Jewish moyel do a hatafas dam bris later on. So on that daf, when the Gemara quotes that a nochri cannot perform the bris mila, the Gemara has a machlekes. Which pasuk do you learn it out from? So the Gemara says based on which pasuk. It depends whether an isha is ksheir alamol. The halach lemaisa we pass an isha is ksheir alamol, but since it's a machlekes and some rishonim paskin it's no good, so we usually avoid it.
A Jewish doctor is not kosher.
A Jewish doctor is kosher, yeah. If he's a frum doctor,
he doesn't know the halachos.
So you tell him the halachos. It's not so complicated. Tell him all the dinim. Okay, yeah. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that isha ksheir alamol, we pasuk a woman can do a bris mila, but because there was a machlekes and there are others who disagree, so we avoid it unless it's yom hashmini. And if you won't allow the woman to perform the bris mila, you'll postpone the bris and do it shalai bismana. So that's called a shas hadchak. So if you have a shas hadchak, we would say let the woman perform the bris mila. So the New York Board of Rabbis, which no longer exists,
no,
they closed down a couple of years ago. New York Board of Rabbis around 10 or 15 years ago, I already lost track, they approved 7 women, mohalos, just to show that the din is mikir din, that a woman can perform the bris mila. But somehow on this, on the pidyon haben, that they should have women do pidyon haben, that they didn't pick up on yet. I don't know why not. Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana was not a kohen. Rav Kahana was not a kohen. His name is Kahana. He was not a kohen. His wife, he accepted zrola chayim b'hakeva on behalf of his wife. That's the Gemara in the end of Chulin. So Taisus in the first perek in Kiddushin assumes that just like the husband, if a kohen is married to a Yisrael, the husband, even though she's married to a Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat truma. She may still take zrola chayim b'hakeva. So Taisus assumes that a woman, a bas kohen, can do pidyon haben, and even if she's married the same as Zrala Chayim HaKev, and even if she's married to a non kohen, you can give the pidyon haben money to her husband, and you yotze the mitzvah. And the Rambam disagrees, and he says, no, you never yotze if you give pidyon haben money to a kohenis. So Rabbi Kiveger on Shulchan Aruch, Yoridei Chelek Aleph, by the simon of Zrala Chayim HaKev, points out that this dispute between the Rambam and Tosfos is no esoteric, no complicated thing. It just depends on two opinions in the Gemara in the end of Chulin. The Gemara in the end of Chulin has a long discussion which laws of Kahuna apply to women, and which laws do not apply to women. Let's say a kohen will stand in a Beis Hamikdash, put on big dekun, and be makor of karbonis. So that we learn from Psukim that bas kohen cannot be makor of karbonis. To be metamei lemesim, a kohen is not permitted to be metamei lemesim. So it says in the beginning of Parshas Emor, Mala kohanim b'nei Aharon v'lo b'nos Aharon, that a bas kohen is permitted to be metamei lemesim. Or the Rambam's opinion is, it says, the kohen is only allowed to be metami to the seven relatives, and it says lachos apsula shelahos alish lo yitama. He's permitted to be metami to his sister; she's not married. So the Gemara, we learned the beginning of Soita Dav Gimel. So the Gemara had a machlekes of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. How do you translate the pasuk lo yitama? So Rabbi Shmuel says lo yitama. The kohen is permitted to be metami to the seven relatives, and we rishus, and we pass like Rabbi Kiva that it's a chayva. The kohen is obligated to be metami to the seven relatives. So the Rambam's opinion is, must have discussed it then on Dav Gimel. So the Rambam's opinion is that the obligation to be metami to the seven relatives only makes sense by a male kohen. The kohen, the male kohen, zichrei kohen, are not allowed to be metami lemesim. So if they'll participate in the levaya of the seven relatives, dos heist kavod ha-meis. I violate a kedushas kohuna to show kavod ha-meis. But if you're not a kohen bechlal, if you're a Levi or a Yisrael, or you're a Kohenis, you're a Bas Kohen, so why should, what do you accomplish by participating in being the Tamei? It's neither here nor there. So the Rambam Shita is that that's totally Zeh B'Zeh. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, no, Lo Yitama is an obligation. All the Jews are Mechuyev to participate in the Kvura of the seven relatives, even if you're not a Kohen, even if you're not Zichrei Kuna. The Rambam holds no. The Zichrei Kuna who are prohibited from being Matam and Lameisim, so they have an obligation, Lo Yitam Echav, they're obligated to demonstrate Kavod Ameis, Kavod Abrius, by participating in the funeral.
If the sister is married, the Kohen can't be Matam.
Not allowed to be Matam.
Yeah. She
no, once she got married, she not allowed to be Matam. Has to be a Psula. Let's say she was Nenso. She was never married, but she was Nenso. Also not. Also not Matam. Also not metame. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about the details. Machlok the Satana in certain cases, whether the coin is metame or not metame. So again, so normally the soita brings a mincha soita. The coin does a kmitza, you put the kaimins into a klisharis, then you throw the flour in the klisharis onto the fire, you burn it, and then the zichrei kohuna eat the shiari ha-mincha, like a normal mincha. Mincha soita, like a normal mincha. It's min ha-se'orim, it's barley, we learned. It's not 100% normal. Normal mincha is from wheat, from minachitim, and this is barley, Michael Behema. But you do the kmitzi, and you burn the kaimitz, and then the zichrei kohuna eat the rest. Here, by the soito, so again, so the menachas and the sochim, if a person is magdish, a behema, or an oaf, as a chatas of olusofer, or whatever, asham, ashlamim, by the behemas, if you're magdish a carbon, a behema or an oaf, so it gets what we call kedushas haguf lamizbech right away. If you set aside $1,000 to bring a carbon, that gets kedushas damim lamizbech. The value of the $1,000 is dedicated towards a carbon. So that has pidyon. You can switch the kedusha from the money onto a behema, switch it onto something else, then switch that onto the behema. But once you designate the behema, the oaf, so it gets a kedushas haguf lamizbech. So once it has kedushas haguf lamizbech, has no pidyon unless it gets a mum. And mum is only a behemoth. And eifes, there's no din of mum. And the menachas, there's no din of mum. So, ha menachas van sochim, if it's not a live animal, it's not a live behemoth or oaf, if it's wine for the sochim, or it's mincha, flour, so when you set it aside, it doesn't yet get the kedusha guf lamizbech until you put it into a klisharis. That's the name of a perek in the end of menachas. Ha menachas van sochim, mishikitsha bikli. After you do kiddush kli, then it gets the status of Kedusha Guf Lamizbech. Before Kiddush Kli, only has Kedusha Damim Lamizbech, so it has Pidyon. After Kiddush Kli gets Kedusha Guf Lamizbech, so then it has no Pidyon. So that's what the Mishnah, that's what we started the Mishnah. What's the din? Somebody, anybody, it doesn't have to be a Soita. Someone brings a Mincha to the Beis HaMikdosh, and the flour becomes Tomei. So you can't be Makrivit on the Mizbech. If you have a carbon that's Tomei, it's Pasal HaKrova. So Nitmes Mincha, so if the flour that she brought becomes Tomei. So when did it happen? Achela Kitshavikli. If the flower, the mincha, became Tomei, before Kiddushkli, there was only Kedushas Peh. The husband set it aside for the mincha for his wife. And he said, this should be Kodesh Kedushas Minchos. It only gets Kedushas Damim Lamizbech. So Kedushas Damim Lamizbech, Arei Kecholam Anochas B'tifot, you can have pinyon on it. Any mincha before Kiddush Kli lends itself to pinyon. V'im she'kiddusha b'kli, but if they do Kiddush Kli on Menachas V'Ansochim, then it gets Kedushas Aguf Lamizbeach. You can only be paid if it develops a mum. There is no such thing as a mum in a mincha. No such thing as a mum in oifas. The din of mum is only by behemoth. So farfan, harei kachol menachas v'tisorif. So you have a mincha which you can't be makrev on the mizbeach, and you can't be paid. So what do you do with it? So you burn it. It's a pasul of mincha. So you burn it. We mentioned a while ago there are different kinds of karbonos that you burn. You have parim hanisrofim, misirim hanisrofim. That's in the siddur before in ezel mekayman before baruch shama. So there you burn it kemitzvasoi. So whenever you burn the carbon kemitzvah, so you burn a chutz l'sholosh machnas on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, special location. Here the carbon is burnt because it's nipsal. If you have pigol noisa tami, the carbon is nipsal. So then you're supposed to, when it's burnt kemitzvah, so then you burn it in the azor. Paradoxical. One would have thought punk faker. Whenever you burn it kemitzvah, so that's the way you're supposed to fulfill the mitzvah, you should burn it in the azor. When it becomes nifsal, you're burning shalei kemitzvah, so one would have thought you burn a chutz lazor. So the Mishnah in Zvachim brings out that paradox. So that's what it says. If you already did kiddush kli on the mincha, so then it no longer lends itself to pidyon, and there's no such thing as a mum. Yeah, imish kiddush harei kachol menachas v'tisarif. If it's tameh, you can't be makavitz, you have to burn it. You burn it shalei kemitzvah, so you burn it in the azor. So then the Mishnah said that was one example of a case where the mincha became nifsala because it was nitmes. The elu, the following situations of a saita, the husband brings his wife to the Beis Hamikdash, a saita case, shemincha seim nisrafes, even though the mincha did not become nitma. The following cases, if you had kiddush kli, if you didn't have any kiddush kli, so you just paid it, it'll be yotze lechulin. But if it had kiddush kli, the elu, the following cases, shemin chaseim nisrafes, or meris tamean iloch, they're in the middle of the ceremony of the saita, and the woman says, I don't want to stop the music, I don't want to go any further, I'm afraid I'm going to die, mesa mishuna, I admit that I was mezana. So you stop in the middle. So what do you do with the mincha? They put it into the kli, it was mekudosh already. So you burn it. It's a mincha, and you can't be makrivit, and you can't be poided, because they already had kiddush kli. So you have to burn it because shaloi kemitzvasai, or shabola edim shitmeh. She doesn't admit that she was mezana, but witnesses come and they testify that she was mezana. So the jig is up. So what are we? We're not going to give her my mamar. So you stop in the middle. So you burn the mincha, or hoemeris eini shoisa. She doesn't say. She says I'm innocent, but I don't want to drink the my mamar. You can't force her. She doesn't want. We had before. Sometimes we force her to drink the my mamarim. If they already did Mechikas HaMegillah, they already did Mechikas HaShem, then we force her. One time it says, if she says any shoysa, we tell her, look lady, you say any shoysa now, we assume that you're guilty. And she keeps on screaming that she's innocent. So we had a Tana before it said, once she says any shoysa at such a later state, that's equivalent of saying Tameyani. In such a case, if she says any shoysa, or Shabbailayna Reitzalash Koysa, the husband first thought he's going to bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash and go through the whole Seder Hashkos HaSoito. And then he realizes, he thinks his wife was Mezana, she's going to die in Misa Mishuna. So he's upset why she was Mezana, but he doesn't want her to die in Misa Mishuna. So he says in the middle, any mashke, I don't want to go through with it. If he doesn't want, he doesn't want. Okay?
He can't live with it.
He'll give her again. He can't live with it. He has to give her again. But they already did the kiddush kli on the mincha, so you have to burn the mincha. It's a mincha which you cannot be makriv. They're traveling from Kiryat Shmona to Yerushalayim, takes forever till they get to the Beis Hamikdash, and then they stopped off somewhere in a motel on the way. They slept overnight, and the husband was boaleh. That's kineged the din. The din is v'nitma. She's asura labayla, and he's boaleh. So that's the din. If the Baal is menuka meyavain, if the Baal is didn't violate the din, so then the mayim hamorim will be boidik the wife. If the husband is not menuka meyavain, he's not so innocent because he violated the din. He was boaleh baderech. So then the miracle was not promised. That's a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. The Rambam says if the Baal will learn, it's in the next parak, the next Mishnah. The Rambam learns if the Baal is not minuka meyovain, means if the husband was ever Baal bi asura from his bar mitzvah on. Yeah, even shnias. If the husband violated even an isa de rabbanon and bia, the area of isurei bia, so then the miracle was not promised. And Rashi does not learn like the Rambam. Rashi learns not has to be a tzaddik from everything. If he didn't violate this din, if he didn't violate the din of Enitmo, the Baila Baal Abadera, then the miracle was not promised. And the Rambam says no. The miracle only works if he's straight. If he's Menuka Meyavin, he was never Baal Bi Asuram from the time of Bar Mitzvah on, so then the miracle will occur. So this Mishnah only mentions Baila Baal Le Abaderech, if the husband violated the Isur of Enitmo. We're supposed to ask in advance. We're supposed to ask the question. So the husband says no, he didn't. The husband and the wife say they didn't violate the din. And then we're proceeding in the middle, and then they tell us the truth later on. They tell us the truth later on. So that was the question that Tosfos asked, that we mentioned this week. Tosfos on the bottom asked the Kasha, since Baila Baal Leho Baderech, so you're not supposed to bring the whole Mincha Saita, the whole Pasha Saita doesn't apply. So we didn't know it in advance. We asked them the question. They said they were not together. And then when we find out in the middle, so isn't it the Gloy Milsala Mafreya that the Kiddush Kli was meaningless? You can't volunteer. A Mincha Saita is not Bo Ben Eder and Adova. A person can't volunteer. Let's say a single man wants to donate a Mincha Saita. There is no such thing. Mincha Saita is only if the husband and the wife in Kinyan Lo Ministra, the whole Chad Gadya, the whole story. So if you have a case where there was Baila Baal Le'a Baderech, so the Parshas Mincha Saita doesn't apply. So it should be Yotze L'chulin. So why does it say Mincha Sanis Refes? The Kiddush Kli was meaningless. So Tosfos stood on the head and gave a whole explanation. And last week, I think you suggested, why don't you just say it's Midirabbanan? Because the Gemara said that if Bola Edim Shitmeya, the Gemara asked the Kasha in the first Perek on Daf Vov and Aleph. Gemara said, Kasha, one of the Amoraim said, the miracle of the Saita was only promised if it's necessary. The Baruch Shalom doesn't do miracles unnecessarily. So if there are Saita, Shiyeshla Edim, Bimedina Sayam, if there are two Edim around anywhere in the world who know that the woman was Mizana, so the miracle is not going to work. So I think Mori asked Akasha from this Mishnah. It says, Vishabo ele Edim Shitameya. If they did the Kiddush Kli, then the Edim show up. But the Edim didn't come into existence today. The Edim were there all along. So they already knew before. They knew before they did the Kiddush Kli. They didn't arrive to the Beis HaMikdash till in the middle of the ceremony. So since Soito Shiesh Le Edim in Medina Sayam, the Maiman Ad Boit came. So the whole Kiddush Kli was betoys. You had no right to mimikadosh it. So why don't you say Shabi Yotze L'chulim? So the Gemara there answered, it's only Midirabbana, Kadesh Aliyam. People shouldn't think that the people may not realize. They'll think that the Mincha had Kiddush Kli. They won't understand that the Eitim Mimininis Ayam, the Kiddush Kli is meaningless. So that's what you suggested last week. Maybe Baila Baal Le'a Baderech, maybe the reason why you do the Sreifa and the Mincha is also only Midirabbana. Who says that? It's Minatera. The bottom Tosfos assumes that Bailo Baal El Baderech Minchas and Isref is Minatera. So that's why they have a hard time explaining why. I should have said that one of the conditions of Saita is missing. The Baal is Aish is not Menuka Meyovan. So the whole miracle was never promised. So the whole Kiddush Kli was meaningless. So Tosfos kvetches a teretz why it's Minatera. Okay. Now the Mishnah discusses one of the differences between a Kohen and a Koheness is that if a Kohen brings a Korban Mincha, you burn the whole thing. You don't do Kmitza and only burn the Kohenets and leave the rest. The Rambam and the Mor and the Vuchim and the Ibn Ezra and Chumash give the same explanation why. Why is it that if a Levi or Yisrael brings a Korban Mincha, you only do Kmitza, burn the Kohenets? And if the Kohen brings the Korban Mincha, you got to burn the whole thing. So they both explain the same hesber. If the Kohen is going to bring a Korban Mincha, just going to burn a Kohen, then you're going to eat the rest. So he didn't bring a Korban. He's going to bring a Mincha, he's going to eat his own Korban. So what did he give? He gave a shmek topic. A kaimitz is next to nothing over there.
So, to another coin.
Or you can give it to another coin, right? So that's what they point out. The Rambam himself points it out. So he says, nonetheless, since the din is that if a kohen brings his own mincha, the kohanim were divided into mishmaris. There were 24 mishmaris, and every 24th week, the same anshei mishmar came back, and then the mishmaris were divided into six batayavis, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, through Friday, and then everybody went home for Shabbos. So all the mishmaris would serve on Shabbos. Rashi writes one place there were seven batayavis, yeah, but we assume that's a mistake in Rashi. Because all the other Rashis say, like it says in the Gemara, that every mishmar was divided into six batayavis, and each Beisav was in charge of the Hakrovas HaKabonis Sunday through Friday, and then most of them went home for Shabbos, and all the batayavis of that mishmar did the Avoida on that Shabbos. So the din is, let's say, I'm a Kohen, and this is not my mishmar. It's my mishmar, it's not my Beisav. My Beisav is a Tuesday, another month, and today's a different day. So the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama explains Pshat in the Pasuk in Chumash, if a Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash with his own carbon, brings his own mincha, brings his own chatos, whatever, he can do the whole avoid and he keeps everything for himself. So if the Kohen brings a mincha, he can, even though it's not his mishmar, he can be makriv the mincha himself, and let's say ashlamim, he could be chatos. He can be makar of the chatas himself, even though it's not his mishmar, it's not his beisav, and he can eat all the flesh. So if the kohen will bring a mincha, and it'll be, you'll do a kmitza, and only burn the kohenis, and then he's going to eat the rest. So he brings a mincha, and he takes the whole thing back. So what is he bringing? The Rambam, he didn't give anything. So the Rambam explains in the Mar Nevuchim, maybe that's the reason why minchas kohen is ein nikmetzes and kolal tia. You have to burn the whole thing. So that's what the Velt says. Maybe that's the reason why here kohen v'loy kohenes. A kohenes does not eat the shiori mincha because it's kochi kochim. Kochi kochim are only nechal by zichri kohuna, only by the male kohanim. So since if a kohenes would bring a mincha, she's not in the running. She can't eat the shiori ha-mincha. So that's why there's no problem. So if a kohenes brings a mincha, you do kmitza, you burn the kohenes, and the rest will be nechal. And it's not going to look funny. She's bringing a mincha, she's taking it back. She's not going to take it back. The mincha has to be eaten by zichri kohen. So that's what the Mishnah is assuming here, that a kohenes does not have this din of minchas kain kolot tihia. So here the Mishnah has a shaila. Let's say a kohen is married, and his wife is a soit, and they come to the Beis HaMikdash. So they bring the mincha. So is that a minchas kohen or not? The mincha soita, who's the bala carbon? The bala carbon is the wife. Mm-hmm. The bala carbon of the mincha is the wife.
She didn't bring it for sacramental purposes, for the purpose of what you would think of the mincha. She was bringing it because of the extenuating circumstances, not related to the kuna. She did it because she's maybe a bad wife. That's different.
Whenever you have a soita, so they bring a mincha, so the mincha is carved on behalf of the wife. So the wife, even if she's a kohenes, the husband pays for it. The halacha says the husband has to pay for it. That's a machlokes hatanoim. Tosis quotes from the Dorim. They quote Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Gemara in the Dorim. You see the Tosis kol anasuas. So on the 6th, 7th line in Tosis it says Dorim daf lamanhamid base. So the Gemara there in the Dorim quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Stam sifro Rabbi Yehuda. The commentary of the Tanoim on Vayikra is called the Sifro, Sifro de Beirav, and the Stam Sifro is Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara there in the Dorim quotes a chunk, a paragraph from the Sifro. The Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Oda mevi alishto kol karbona shehi chayeves. Whenever my wife is mechuyev to bring karbona, my wife has a baby, my wife had 9 babies, so when the Beis HaMikdash is built, I'm supposed to pay, if I have money, I'm supposed to pay for the karbonas. So Tosis asks in the Dorim, if the wife is upset with her husband, she can be mekabel 1,000 karbanos or else she'll make him go broke. So Tosis says no. The other maybe Rabbi Yehuda only says other maybe the husband has to pay for kol karbanos shehi chayeves if she's mechuyev. If she's mechal shabbos b'shoigeg, Chal Shabbos b'mezid, there's no korban chatas. Chal Shabbos b'shegeg, it was an accident. So then the Torah imposes a chiyuv chatas, then the husband has to pay. Mincha soita, she didn't accept it. It's not bo ben edim and adova. The Torah imposes a chiyuv. She has to bring a mincha soita. So mincha soita, she's mechuyev to bring. Rabbi Yehuda says the husband has to pay for it. So the Mishnah says over here like this: the kohen is married and is choshed his wife. He brings his wife to the Beis Hamikdash. Doesn't matter who the wife is, whether the wife is a kohenis or a levi or a yisraelis. Even if the wife is a kohenis, the din is that a minchas kohenis is nikmetzas. You do kmitza on it, you burn the kohenis and you eat the rest. So here, the Mishnah considers this a problem. On the one hand, the korban mincha is offered on behalf of the wife, and women, even if she's a kohenis, don't have the din of kolotiyah. On the other hand, the husband is also a shutif here, like you said. The husband is also a shutif. Why? Maybe the Mishnah is going like the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that the husband is mechuyev to fund, husband is mechuyev to pay for all the karbanos that the wife is mechuyev to bring. So the husband has to pay for the karban. So the Mishnah considers them shutvim, so how do you deal with it? On the one hand, it's a minchas isha, all minchas isha is nikmetzis and nechelos. On the other hand, it's a minchas koyin, because he's mechuyev to pay for it, so it should be kolotiya. So how do you deal with it? So the Mishnah says, kol hanesuas lekohanim minchasem nisrafas. What do you mean? I mean any woman. Kol hanesuas lekohanim. How does Rashi say? Filu korva kamitz kolchos v'lanitman srofin shirayim. Whenever it means a saita, a woman is a saita. She's married to a kohen, so you're not allowed to eat because
I
it's.
She waves all her financial responsibility. She says to the husband, "I don't need you. I'm taking care of everything myself." Yeah,
then the husband is not a shutif, then it's a regular mincha of a woman, even if she's a kohenis, he do kmitza, he burn the kohenis.
Maybe they send a low plug.
No, he can't make a low plug here. Whatever the din is, he got to do the din. No. It's a normal case over here. Normal case is the husband is mechuyev, according to the Tana Rav Yehuda. The husband is mechuyev to pay for the mincha, because she's mechuyev. So it says, kol hanesuas lekohanim, whenever a woman is married to a kohen, you can't just do the kmitza and burn the kohenis and have the kohenim eat the shirayim. The din is minchasem the srafas. You have to burn the whole thing. How are you going to burn the whole thing? Let's continue. Bas yisol shenisus lekohen. Also, kol hanesuas means whether the wife is kohenis levi of Israel, so it spells it out. Bas yisol shenisus lekohen. She's the wife is not a kohenis, but she's married to a kohen. So minchasem is srafas. Fine. Kohenis shenisus. What if she's a kohenis? Shenisus Israel, she's a kohenis. She's a kohenis is la malav la merit, because this din minchas kohen kolotia is only by a male kohen, not by a kohenis. So let's say she's a kohenis, so there's no din of kolotia, and the husband is not a kohen. The husband is a levi or yisol. So minchas and achelas. That's obvious. So that's a shaila. Tosis introduces that. You see, Rashi writes over here, the first Rashi on the Gemara, where it says in big letters in Rashi, Gemara, so Rashi writes, an eishes koyen, minchasa, nisrefe, zakt Rashi, achas minchas soita, achas minchas nedova. Even if the wife volunteers on her own, she's going to donate a mincha to the Beis HaMikdosh. So Rashi says, since the husband is a koyen, so you can't eat it. So that's what Tosis chapters Rashi. What do you mean? Tosis says to Kasha Nedorim, if Rabbi Yehuda the Tana says in the Sifra, that's quoted there in the Dorim Daf Lamed Hey, Rabbi Yehuda says the husband is obligated to pay to fund all of the karbanos that his wife is mechuyev to bring. So if the wife will accept a million karbanos oila, so she can make her husband go broke. He can be a multi-billionaire, and she make him go broke. Every day she'll take another neder, another mincha, another. Mincha is $2. She'll take another to bring oilas and shlamim and everything. She'll use up all this money. So Tosis restricted it. Tosis says the husband is only mechuyev to pay for those karbanas that she's mechuyif to bring. If she brings b'ned and adav, the husband is not mechuyif to pay. So that's why Tosfos starts off by picking on Rashi. How does Rashi write the first comment on the Gemara? That whoever is married to a kohen minchas on this refez, zokt Rashi, it doesn't make a difference whether minchas soito or minchas nedove. So Tosfos says, why? A minchas soito, you can say they're both shutfim. The wife is the bala korban, it's often on her behalf, but the husband had to pay for it. So on the one hand, it's a minchas kohen, on the other hand, it's a minchas isha. So you have to do the kmitza, burn it, then you have to burn the rest also. We'll soon learn the Gemara. But aminchas nedove, the husband is not mechuyif to pay for anything. So why is the husband considered a shutef here? So first Tosfos thinks that Rashi is wrong. And then they say, if you want to defend Rashi, maybe you'll have to answer, since there is a din midir rabbanon. There is a din midir rabbanon. Kol mashe kanzi isha kana baila. There is a din min ha-Torah. Kol mashe kana evit kana rabbo. If you have an Eved Kanaini, if you have an Eved Ivri is an employee, he's an Ishkan Eved. If you have an Eved Kanaini, then you have a Klal D'Oraisa, Kol Mashikana Eved Kana Rabbah. If a person is married to his wife, there's a Dinma D'Rabbanon, Kol Mashikana Seisha Kana Baila. It's not the same as Kol Mashikana Eved Kana Rabbah. Number one, that's a Din D'Oraisa. Number two, the Odin is Kana Lagamre. Kol Mashikana Seisha Kana Baila just means the Baal is Echel Peris. He doesn't keep it. He's entitled to get Paris. It becomes Nichse Milug. So Tosfos suggests, maybe, since there is a Din Midirabbanon, all the Dinim Midirabbanon in the area of Dinim Amunis function based on Hefker Bezna Hefker. So the Gemara says, once you have a Din Midirabbanon in the area of Dinim Amunis, it works Minat Torah. Because Hefker Bezna Hefker is a biblical principle based on Psukim. The Gemara in Gittin learns it out from Psukim. So the Tosfos suggests, to explain the Rashi, if the woman volunteers a minchas nedava, the husband is not mechuyif to pay for that. But still, she's paying for it, but all of her assets belong partially to the husband. Kol ma shekan seisha kana baila. So any mincha that she's going to bring, b'nedava, the husband will be considered as if he's also a shutef, because of this takana derabbanan. So since the husband is a kayin, so therefore the din should be, you have to burn the whole mincha. No one's allowed to eat it. That's how Tosfos farenfes the Rashi. It's a very shvere teretz. The Keren Ori has the kasha. Very shvere teretz. If Tosfos pshat is right, that kol masha konsi isha kona baila is enough based on hefke bez nefke. It's only midir rabbanon, but nonetheless hefke bez nefke works min haTorah. So it's considered as if a mincha that a married woman who's married to a kohen, married woman brings, is considered as if a husband, the kohen, is a shutef. So what if a kohen has an Eved Kanaani? And the Eved Kanaani brings a mincha. He has his own funds. And there's a din, kol mashikana Eved Kana Rabba, is a din deraisa. You don't even have to come on to a takana derabana. So an Eved Kanaani of a kohen brings a mincha? It's nisrefes. Never heard of that. Doesn't exist. Not true. There is no such din. So according to Tosfos, Eishes Kayin, who brings a mincha b'nedava, they're defending Rashi. Eishes Kayin brings a mincha b'nedava, so the Eishes Kayin is the bala carbon. She's donating the carbon, the mincha is offered on her behalf. But because because of the takana derabbanan, so the husband is also considered a shtikel shutev, so you're not allowed to eat that mincha. So it should come out that if you have an Eved Kanaani shalakayin who brings a mincha, for sure it should be nisrefes. And we never heard of such a din. Keren Ori quotes Mishnayis to prove that the din is faker. Not just you never heard of such a din, it's wrong. See, he gives up on Tosfos. He thinks that Tosfos is not right. More correct, you should say, like Tosfos started off. They started to chepir Rashi. Rashi says, an Eishes Kayin who brings a mincha, whether it's a mincha seita or a mincha snedove. So Tosfos first said they think Rashi is not right. Only minchas soita. Minchas nedava, the husband is not a shtutif. He's not mechuyif to fund it. He's not mechuyif to pay for it.
In what circumstance can an eved bring nedava without the
shtutif? Where is it? Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for it? Let's say someone else is funding. The eved is a holy tzaddik, and he has a good friend, a ben chorin, who says, I'd like to donate to the Beis Hamikdash. I'd like to donate money that you should bring a korban mincha.
But if he does it to the exclusion of the Baal, then the Baal has no chelik.
But if he doesn't have an exclusion, then the Baal has it. They can't bring it. So the only time he could bring it is if he excludes the Baal. If he excludes the Baal, then he goes to the Baal.
The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim if he in kiddushin. If someone gives a gift to the Eved al Menashe ein l'rabbi rishus boy, whether that tanai is valid? Can you make such an exclusion? Maybe you can't make such an exclusion. Yeah, along those lines.
How can Eved Kanani ever redeem himself?
Right, that's the din. The Mishnah says that an Eved Kanani goes free. Yotzei l'cheres either with shtar or with kesef. So the Gemara says kesef. How does the Eved Kanani have kesef that is able to buy his freedom? So one Tana says kesef al de'echerim. Someone else gives the money to the Yodon. That's called Kinyan Eved Kanani. Someone else gives the money to the Yodon and the Eved goes free. And the other Tana says no. Somebody gave the Eved money. The first Tana says it doesn't exist. There is no such thing. You can't give money. Why not? So that's a discussion. The Gemara never says it's Master Mashikos Vater. The Gemara never explains what the issue is. The Rashba there discusses. It is their Isa, yeah, it is. Yeah, but usually with Davishim and Mammon, we assume that Masna Mashkas Matar Davishim and Mammon is Kayim. It is Kayim. With Davishim and Yisr, we say, let's say a man marries a woman, he says, Hariyah Mekudeshesli. Let's say in the Israeli army, people, Rahman al Islam, people get killed all the time. So a young boy gets married to a girl. And he knows that he may die never having any children. He may get killed soon after the wedding. He may never have any children. And the wife will need chalitza. And his brother is a chiloni, let's say. So he says, Hareh mekudeshesli ala tanai, that if I die without children, you won't require any chalitza. So that's given as a typical example of Masna Mashikasa Batorah, that tanai batel and maisekayim, the kedushin is chal, and the tanai doesn't mean anything. Because that's bedovish abiyisa. But if a man, let's say, makes a tanai, Hareh mekudeshesli, on the condition that I'm not mechuyev to support you. So support is money. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda, and we pass on the masa mashen pasvatar b'davish emimamin tanoi kaim, that you can't make such a tanai. So that's the shaila. What's wrong if someone gives a gift to the Yeved, he gives cash to the Yeved, he says, this money is a matana on the condition that ein l'rabach l'shuzboi. So why shouldn't you say that that's masa mashkas matar b'davish emimamin? Maybe it should be good. So the Rashba has a whole discussion. What's the issue? Why is there a machlokes hatanaim, whether it's good or it's no good? Rashba in Kiddushin, the first parak has a discussion. It has a whole fancy pshat. So Nachmal, so the Mishnah says, a kohen who brings a carbon mincha, you don't do kmitza kolotia. An ashes kohen who brings a carbon mincha, that's a question, which carbon mincha? So the Karen Ar insists that the beginning of Taisa is right. Only mincha soita doesn't apply to minchas nedova. And Taisus tries to defend the Zeta, the Bali Taisus by Enik Lech of Rashi. So they try to defend Rashi. And Rashi says over here, even Minchas Nedova. So for some reason or another, we consider it as if they're Shutvim in the Mincha. A woman who brings a Mincha, even if she's a Kohenes, the din requires you do Kmitza and you burn the Kohen Mitzvah and then you eat the Shirayim. But if you consider the husband who's a Kohen as a Shutvim in the carbon, so you have a tie to the sasra over here. A minchas kayin, you burn the whole thing, you don't do any kmitza. A minchas isha, you do a kmitza, you burn the kaimitza, you eat the shirayim. So what do? So the Gemara says you gotta do both. You have to do the kmitza, burn the kaimitz, and then you have to burn the shirayim. So the Gemara is gonna discuss that. Is that a solution? Have you solved the problem? By doing kmitza and burning the kaimitz, then you burn the rest? That's permissible. Yeah, where do you burn it? That's what we're going to have to work on. I don't know, it's a repeat? I don't know. Why is it repeated? I don't know. We should look in a big Mishnais. I don't know why it's repeated. It's exactly the same thing. I don't know. Let's see. Kohenish in Isisli Israel. If a woman is a Kohenish, she doesn't have this din. Any woman, even if she's a Kohenish, you do kmitza and you burn the koimitz and you eat the rest. If the kohenis is married to a kohen, then you have this story. The shutzvim, mitzad the isha, you should have done kmitza and eaten the rest. Mitzad the husband, you shouldn't do kmitza. So you do the kmitza, you burn that and you burn that. But if the kohenis is married to Israel, hakosher top and hakosher level, there's no shaila. Both mitzad the husband and mitzad the wife, minchasa minachelas, you burn the koimitz and you eat the rest. That's easy. We'll get into the Gemara. Gemara is going to give more details. So the Mishnah is going to list off ma ben kohen lekohenis. What are some of the differences between a man who's a kohen and a woman who's a kohenis? So one difference we just had: minchas kohenis nachelas, minchas kohen and nachelas. If a kohen brings a mincha, you don't do kmitza, you burn the whole thing. What's another difference? Kohenis mischalelas, the kohen ain't mischalel. Let's say the kohen marries a grusha. So Kozman, that he's married to the Grusha, we won't allow him to be makor karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. We won't permit him to duchem, we won't give him the first aliyah, we won't let him do pidyon haben. But after he divorces her, so then he's not a cholol, he remains a kohen. But if a kohen marries a Grusha and they're living together, she becomes a halola. On top of, in addition to being a Grusha, she now becomes a halola. And if the kohen will be bo halel later, he'll get twice malchus. They get Malkus for the fact that he's living with a Grusha, and number two, the two Shemus Mukhlokin. They'll get Malkus for the fact that he's living with a Chalola. The Gemara in the end of Kiddushin has a whole discussion about Isa Chalal Isa. If she already was a Grusha, and then the Kohen is Baalel, she becomes Michaleles, she becomes a Chalola, so is the Isa Chalola Chal on top of the Isa Grusha that is Taka really going to get twice Malkus? So the Gemara says yes. So the Gemara has a whole explanation. There are exceptions to the rule when you say Isa is Chalal Isa.
She comes in Zona 2.
Zona 2, yeah. Yeah. Correct.
So, my being called the Kohenis Rebbe, so here's an ideal time to say that the Kohen gets beaten up then,
right.
The
Mishnah
should have listed.
That's an eyes and a kasha. The Mishnah should have listed. Let's say Kohenis Matam Lameis, Mene Kohen Matam Lameis. The Kohenis is not prohibited from attending a funeral, and the Kohen is not allowed. Shailah, what if the Kohenis is pregnant? What if a woman is married to a Kohen? Aisha's Kohen is pregnant. And she doesn't know if she's having a boy or a girl. Right. So the din is that you're not, let's say, Mrs. Cohen, my daughter's married to a Kohen. My son-in-law's name is Rabbi Cohen. So Mrs. Cohen has little children. So if she goes to a funeral, she's allowed to go. She's not a Kohenis, even if she would be a Kohenis. She's allowed to go to a funeral. But she's not allowed to take any of the little children. That's Emeva Marta Lahazik Dola Malaktanim. You're not allowed to be Mitame Kohen Cotton.
Little boy
she can't take, right. So what if she's pregnant? She doesn't know whether she's expecting a boy or a girl. So is it prohibited for the Eishes Kohen to attend a funeral? Because she may be carrying a baby boy. So the Shach in the end of Yerideya, the very last section ends off with the laws of Avelus, and they have a few simonim there about Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. So the Shach there quotes, who does he quote? One of the from the Rekeach. Shach quotes from the Rekeach, one of the later Bali Ataisvis, that Eishes Kohen Muberes is permitted to attend a funeral based on a sveksveke, like he said. It's a 50-50 chance whether it's a boy or a girl. So maybe it'll be a girl. And even if it'll be a boy, maybe the baby won't survive to be born alive. Maybe it'll be an aphel. There's a certain percentage of pregnancies that turn out to be an aphel. So it doesn't really mean sveksveke. It means it's 50-50, sofek. But then from the 50, you chisel off a little bit. So the rov is lahakil. It may be a girl, in which case is nawisa to mimetamia baskoin. And even if it's a boy, it may turn out to be a nefer later on. So it comes out that you didn't violate any yisim. That's what the Rekech says. And the Magen Avraham quotes this shach, Magen Avraham Hilchas Shabbos. There's a simon shin mem gimel in Hilchas Shabbos that has nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos. It's all about chinuch haktanim. To which mitzvahs do you have to be mechanech the children? Has about chinuch haktanim on Shabbos, but it talks about chinuch haktanim in general, to all mitzvahs. So the Magen Avraham there quotes this shach, and the end of Yerideya quoted the Rekeach that Eishes Kohen Muberes is permitted to attend the funeral because it is sveksveka, because the roiv is lohakil. So the Magen Avraham says, why did he have to stand on his head to give such a complicated explanation? Why didn't they just say the uber inside the mother's womb is not mekabel tumah? That's a Mishnah in the middle of Chulin. No, it's not Yerachimai. It's not Yerachimai.
He's not
an
individual.
The mother is Mekabel Tumah. So if you say, the baby would be Mekabel Tumah. No, we call that Tahara Belua. Tahara Belua means either Uber inside a mother's Rechem, or let's say a person swallowed a ring, and the ring is in the stomach. And then in another couple of days, the ring is going to come out the other end. So the Tahar Dika ring that's inside the stomach, if a person goes to a funeral and then the ring comes out, the ring was not nitma when he was there. That's called tahara blua. Tahara blua. Same thing, tuma blua is not mitama. Let's say a woman is pregnant and the doctor ascertains that there's no heartbeat, that the fetus died already. So the din is that all the people in the room do not become tummy, because tahara blua, if the tuma is balua inside of the body, so it doesn't cause tuma. Or let's say a dog swallowed, if you have kazayis basam in a mace, it's mitami ba'ohel. If you have kazayis from a mace adam in a room, it's mitami ba'ohel. What if a dog swallowed a kazayis from a mace adam and it's in the stomach and it didn't, there wasn't enough time yet for the enzymes to do their job, and the kazayis is a chunk of flesh inside the dog's stomach, and the dog is running around in the room, jumping around in the room. So the Mishnah says that that's called Tuma blua. Tuma blua is not mitame, and Tara blua is not mekabel tuma. Whatever is balua is considered kemisha eno. Whatever is balua doesn't count at all.
So
that's the Magen Avraham's kasha. Why did the Shach have to quote Rekeach? That Eishes Kaimu Beris is permitted to attend a funeral because of the Svek Sveke, because 50-50 may be a girl. And even if it's a boy, there's a chance that it may turn out to be a Nefel. He should have said the whole Shaila is no Shanishkin Shaila, because Tahara Blua is not Mekabel Tumah. So that's what, it's interesting, the two brothers-in-law, Rab Chaim Oizer and Rab Yochanan Wasserman, were married to two sisters. They married the daughters of the Rav from Shavel. When we were traveling in Europe, Shavel is a big city. We were traveling maybe 40 minutes by bus. We kept on traveling. We were in Shavel for a long time. So the Rav in Shavel, before the Second World War, was Remeir Atlas, a big Talmud Chacham. So his two daughters married these two Goyim. Rav Chaim Moshe married one daughter, and Rav Chana Basman married the other daughter. So both of them independently came up with the same suggestion. Maybe not independently, maybe they discussed it. I don't know, but neither quotes the other one. Each one writes on his own that maybe the Rakeach is of the opinion that the prohibition of the Goyim, that he's not allowed to come in contact with the dead body, maybe has nothing to do with Kabbalah's tumah. Maybe Kohanim have to stay away from dead bodies, even if they're not Mekabel tumah. Even though the Uber inside is a Tahara Blua, not Mekabel tumah, still, if the mother walks into a room, an Oil Ameis, maybe even though the Uber doesn't become Tumah, that would be a violation. That's why the Rekeach had to come onto this Svek Sveka. An interesting suggestion, then it should come out, let's say, Mesei Akum. Even if you follow the opinion, there's a Machlekes Hatanayim, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the Rabbanon, where the Mesei Akum are Mitami Ba'ohel. A Mesei is Mitami B'maga B'masa U'ba'ohel. If you touch the Mesei, so that's Maga. If you're wearing gloves and you touch, there is no Maga. But if you push the Mesei, that's called Masa. And if you're nowhere near the Mesei, but you're in the same room, there's a roof on top of me and on top of the mace, and then a mace is metami ba'ohel. So mace akum, the Gemara says, a metami b'mago b'masa, but ba'ohel is a machlekes hatanoim, and a machlekes harishonim had a paskin. So the Rambam paskins, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Rambam, and mace akum are not metami ba'ohel. So the shaila is, a kohen should be permitted to attend a funeral. If it's a non-Jew, it can go into a non-Jewish cemetery. So it says, even though Mesei Yakum and Amitami Boyal, we don't recommend, we would not allow a Kohen to go into a Goyish cemetery. Shalom, why not? If it's not Mitami Boyal, so what's the concern? So they give three different explanations there, why we don't allow it. So some say, there are always some Mishumadim who are buried in a Goyish cemetery. There are always Jews who are buried in a Goyish cemetery. So he may be the lucky winner. The Kohen may be walking on top of the grave of a Jew. Rova Goyim, yeah. But he, yeah. So some recommend, some say the Shulchan Aruch recommends the Kohen shouldn't go in a Goyish cemetery because there may be some Jews who are buried there. Others say, no, we're choshish for the Shitas Balei HaTosfos. Even though we pass Meikar Adin like the Rambam, the Meisei Akam not Matami Ba'oyel, but Tosfos holds the Meisei Akam Amatami Ba'oyel, like the Chachamim of Rab Shimon Ba'ichoy. So we're choshish for those opinions. So Lachatchila, the Kohen shouldn't do it. And others say, this Hezber, like Rabbi Chana Basman said, just because the Meisei Akam are not Matami Ba'oyel, that's no reason why the Kohen should be allowed to go. A Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a mace, even if through some stunt or another, the mace will not be metamehim. Let's say the Kohen is a fetus inside the mother's body, and Tahara Balu is not Mekabel Tuma, but if you know for sure that it's a baby boy, then she's not allowed to go into the funeral, not allowed to go into the cemetery. That's what some of the Rabbanim write, that today, that the women often know before the baby is born. The doctor tells them that it's going to be a boy, so then there's no longer a sex waken.
The rabbi
says you're not moist of tumah unless if you go to
a
cemetery today.
Everybody's telling mace, so you're not moist of tumah anyway.
Right. The idea is to come into contact with mace,
even if you're not
moist of
tumah. So that would take care of
that.
Would like there's a machlokes. The Rambam. You just come into contact with mace, even though you're not moist of
tumah. Right.
You come into contact with mace.
Right. The simple reading of the Gemara in Nazir, stuck in the same volume, simple reading of the Gemara in Nazir is that, let's say a person went to a funeral on Sunday. Let's say Monday is better. Person went to a funeral on Monday. So how does he become Tohar? So you have to have Poraduma water. So he went to the funeral Monday. So you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Hazar Shlishi. And then Hazar Shvi is going to be on Sunday. I didn't want to give a case he went to the funeral on Sunday, then Hazor Shvi is going to be Shabbos. So we paskin, you're not allowed to do, it's a gzerim of the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to do Hazor on Shabbos. So let's say if you went to a funeral on Sunday, so and you don't have Hazor Shlishi, let's say he went to the funeral on Sunday, he's going to have Hazor Shlishi on Tuesday, and Hazor Shvi is going to be on Sunday. So that's really Shmini. So you had too many days in between Shlishi and Shvi. But that's a machlekes the Rambam and the Raivin. Whether that's good or not. Hazor Shlishi Shvi, normally when a person becomes tamei, goes to the mikveh, he becomes tohar. Sometimes you have to wait a week till you can go to mikveh. When you go to the mikveh, you become tohar. If you come in contact with a mace, first you have to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi from Paraduma, what an nerish that you can go to the mikveh. Then you have to go to the mikveh afterwards. So the Hazor Shlishi Shvi doesn't have to be Davke Shlishi. It's a minimum. You can't go before the Shlishi. You can go 20 years after the Shlishi. Whenever you have paraduma water, so you take the first hazor, then you have to wait between shlishi and shvi. You have to wait another 4 days. So what if you waited a year in between shlishi and shvi? So that's a machlek is the Rambam and the Rav. So the Rambam, there's a two girsas in the Gemara. So the Rambam had the girsa the way we have it printed in our Gemara that hazor shlishi and shvi cannot be more than 4 days apart. If you have too long a pause, it's no good. So let's say if the person went to the funeral on Sunday. He wants to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi, so we wouldn't tell him, have Hazor Shlishi on Tuesday, then Hazor Shvi on Sunday. He got 5 days over there between Tuesday and Sunday. So we would tell him, wait till Wednesday to have the Hazor Shlishi, and Hazor Shvi will be on Sunday. So let's say like this, a person went to a funeral on Monday, and he's eligible to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi, on Wednesday and on Sunday, and then he goes to another funeral on Tuesday or Wednesday morning. So now he pushes off the 7 days. He can't become Tohar on Monday because he has to wait now. He just went to another funeral on Tuesday or Wednesday morning. So if you're Moisif Tumal to Masai, that everybody agrees that that's prohibited for the Kohen and for the Nozir. The din is the same. Kohen and the Nozir are not allowed to be Mitami. The Machloik is the Ramam and the Ravid is. What if he went to a funeral today on Monday morning, and he can have Hazor Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he can go have Hazor Wednesday and have Hazor on Sunday, and he'll become Tar. So he goes to another funeral on Monday afternoon, which is not, he's not prolonging the Hazor Shlishi Shvi. You're going to have the Hazor Shlishi Shvi anyway, on Wednesday and on Sunday. He's not prolonging. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raiva. So the Rambam is of the opinion, the Rambam is of the opinion that that's Osir, it's a machlokes in the Gemara Nazir. It's machlokes the Rambam and the Rabbi had a paskin. But the two opinions appear in the Gemara. So the Rambam says that's usser, and the Rabbi says, why is it usser? He's not being maisif tum al tum usser.
It's after Shvi. The second
Tumah
is after Shvi, right?
Not after Shvi. No. Same day. He goes to a funeral Monday morning. And then he goes to a second funeral on Monday afternoon. So does he get Malkus for going to the funeral Monday afternoon? So the Rabbi says, no, he's not Moisev Tumal Tumasa. He's going to have the Azar Shlishi Shvi. Everything is going to be the same. And the Rambam says that it's Asa. So that's the question. Why does the Rambam say that it's Asa? So the Pasha Pshat, you usually say in the Rambam, why it's Asa? Because he holds that Tumah Bichiburim is a higher level of Tumah. If I touch the mace and I let go, I was at the funeral Monday morning. And then I let go. So I am an Avat Tumah. If I'm going to go to another funeral Monday afternoon, that's like holding on to a mace. So then if I'll touch someone else while I'm holding on to the mace, he'll become an Avat Tumah. If I let go from the mace, I'm an Avat Tumah. I touch someone else, it becomes a Rishon. If I touch someone else while I'm holding on to the mace, the other guy becomes an Av. So that shows that I'm on a higher level of Tumah. That's called Tumah Bichiburim, while I'm still in contact. So we usually assume that the Rambam holds that Tumah b'chiburim is Moisef Tumal Tumasai. He's not Moisef Yimei. He's not Moisef any days. He's going to have the Azosh Lishi Shvi on Wednesday and Sunday anyway. He's not adding additional days, but he's adding additional Tumah. When he touches the mace, when he goes to the second funeral, Monday afternoon, he's Moisef Tumal Tumasai. So that's how you usually learn the Pshat and the Rambam. The Rambam says that it's also to go to a funeral the same day, because it is Moisef Tumal Tumasai, because Tumah Michiburim. Or you could learn the reason for the Rambam totally different. Could say because you're not allowed to come in contact with a mace, like you said, has nothing to do with the Tumah. The Isser of Tumas Kohanim has nothing to do with Tumah. If you should accept this suggestion that they said within the Rekeach, you have to check to see whether the Rambam agrees or disagrees with the Rekech. It could be that's the reason why the Rambam holds also. It's an Isser. A Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with a mace, even if it's not causing Tumah. It has nothing to do with Tumah. The simple reading of the Parsha says, L'nefesh le'itama b'yamah. Simple reading talks about being b'tameh. But it could be that that's just a melitza. What it really means is, don't come in contact with a mace.
Did you say that if going to the Rambam, you shouldn't go to two funerals on the same day because you must have come out Tumah?
Kohen. A Kohen is not allowed to be metamei lemei. So if he went to a funeral Monday morning, is he prohibited to go to a funeral Monday afternoon?
This is not from the Shiva Kruvim.
The second one is not from the Shiva. The first one doesn't matter whether it was or it wasn't. If it was, one of the Zayin Kruvim was Behetta. If it was not, there was Be'issa. So now the Shaila is, once he's tamei already, he went to the first funeral, either Be'issa or Behetta. Irrelevant. Irrelevant, they'll get Malkus. If he went Be'issa, they'll get Malkus. If it's Behetta, they won't get Malkus. Now the Shaila is he permitted to attend the second funeral on the same day, not from the Zayin Kruvim. So the Rambam says that it's awesome. And the Rabbit is Masik, is not being Moisef Tumal to Masai. So the Rabbit holds that whole din of Tumah Bichiburim, if I'm still holding on to the mace and I touch someone else, he becomes an Abba Tumah. If I let go, he only becomes a Rishon. He holds Tumah Bichiburim is only the Rabbonim. On the level of the Raisa, there is no such Tumah Bichiburim Halacha, and you're not being Moisef Tumal to Masai. It's a make-believe. And Atar is not Moisef Tumal to Masai. So that's what the later Paskim say, according to the Ravid, that the only time it's prohibited for a Kohen to be Mentami to a Meis is if he's being Moisef Tumal to Masai. He's extending Yimei Tumah V'Tahara. So what about Bizman Azeh, that nobody has any Eifa Parah anyway? Nobody has any Parah Duma water anyway. Everybody's Tumah Meis anyway, and nobody has any paraduma water. What are you extending Yimei Tumah V'Tahara? He has no ability to be Tohar anyway. So you're not being Moisef Tumal to Masai. So according to the Ravid, Bizman Azeh, it's mutter for all the Kohanim to be Mentami L'Meisim.
So according to the Rambam, you would not be allowed to go to burial, because once you're at the cemetery and you buried one of the relatives, you can come in contact with other graves in that cemetery. So that's being Moisef Tumal Tumah.
Meaning on your way back?
Yeah.
That's right. That's why the Rambam says Kohanim have to bury their relatives at the edge of the cemetery. So when they finish the Kvura, they leave without coming in contact with other nations. Right. It's not right. A lot of times Kohanim go to a cemetery and they go in the middle of the path. The middle of the path is not so wide. If the Kohen goes within Dalaramas of the mace to the right, the mace to the left, So the din with the Rabbanan is that if you're within Dalaramas, you had it at the end of Soita, I think it was the last daf in Soita, they made Xerim with the Rabbanan that if you're within Dalaramas of a mace, it's also Metame. So it's not right. Kanim shouldn't go in the middle. The paths are not, unless it's a very wide path and you have Dalaramas from the place where the Kohen is standing till the Kvorim on the right and the left. Usually the paths are not so wide.
Why should it be at the air? Seven
relatives
is a lot, so it should be asked to for lay sister. In other words, the fact that he has a heter of an esther from the either
to participate in the funeral.
So he should that, and to become a tap is what kind of esther is a lot? It's only a lot.
Right.
So the esther should be deaf for
He says, well, on the way to bury the mace, the essay is decha, the lay says, on the way back, there's no more essay. Shen up get on the essay.
There's no other way of doing it.
Sure, there's a way to do it. Bury the mace on the edge of the cemetery.
Well, that's up to the Sefer Kedisha to do that. I mean, you're going to go tell them to do it.
You got to pay money. The coin should pay money that
so
they should bury his mace.
Let's assume, according to the Rambam, he could do that. Would he, in such a case, the second time, he would be allowed to? According to the Rambam.
If
he doesn't become Tom on the way back. Since it's an essence, it's for places, right? The second day he goes to a funeral.
Once he buries his mace, so the mitzvah says he is finished.
Yeah.
So now he's left in the middle of the cemetery.
No, let's say he's in the corner where he's not going to go anymore in the grave.
Okay, good.
So according to Rambam, would it still be allowed or not? He's asking the second time, right? To go to a funeral, twice in one day.
Right.
Well, so I'm saying the second day he goes to the Zakara. The second time was Zakara.
Karvi mukhif to go.
He's
mukhif to go. What do you mean? That's the mitzvah. He has a mitzvah to participate in the kvura.
But he already went. He went to a funeral in the morning. Let's say so he's not allowed to go to a funeral for the second.
But if the second one is a relative, he has to go. One of the seven relatives is mukhif to go.
Then he won't be with tamei. Then he won't become tamei.
He already is tummy from the morning. Nothing is added. The Ramam says you're not allowed to go a second time, even though he's already mitami in the morning. To be mitami to another mace, same mace, another mace in the afternoon, that is an iser. The rabbit is masik. So there are two ways to explain the Ramam. Either the Ramam holds that there is moisiv tumal to masik. He's not adding additional days. He's not postponing the Hazor Shlishi Shvi to the next day. Everything was both on Monday. The Hazor Shlishi Shvi is going to be anyway on Wednesday and Sunday. But when he's touching the mace the second time, when he's holding on, he has a Tumah B'chiburim, which is the Raisa, and that's Moisev Tumah Altamasa. He's making himself more Tumah. That's one explanation. And he's saying another explanation, nothing to do with Tumah. What do you have to say, Moisev Tumah Altamasa? Maybe the Ramam holds like this, Rokeach. That the Issa, the Kohen, is not allowed to come in contact with the maces, even if he's not Mitami. Even if the mace is not Mitami, the Kohen. He's not allowed to come in contact with the mace, period. It's also to come in contact with the mace.
According to the Rambam, if he was already Tami mace, how about being Tami anything else on the same day?
What do you mean Tami anything else?
Sherets.
Mutta, all the time Mutta.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the whole prohibition of the Kohen is only not to come in contact with the mace. Comes in contact, let's say he's in high school and they're cutting up a frog, a dead frog, or whatever, they have meat in the A&P and he picks up the nevela meat and it's mentame, nevela is mentame magamasa, so that's not an isa. The kohen are only prohibited from coming in contact with tumas mace. That's what we mentioned. Professor Shaul Lieberman once met Rav Soloveitchik at a bris at a simcha, they were cousins. So he said he came across a tshuva from the Goinim. But the Goyim say that the Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the Tumah Sheretz. So what does he say about that? So Rav Soloveitchik said, my grandfather knew how to learn better than most of the Goyim. So he made a mistake. What do you want? The Goyim were fundraisers. The president of the yeshiva is not always the Talmid Chacham. Some of them, Rav Shveri Goyim, Rav Hai Goyim, Rav Sadi Goyim, these were the big Talmid Chachamim. Most of the presidents, Goyen means Rosh Yeshiva is Gon Yankov. The name of the Yeshiva was Gon Yankov, and Rosh Yeshiva is Gon Yankov didn't mean Rosh Yeshiva, it meant the president, the fundraiser. Most of them are not learned. So Atah Gazak. So he said, so one of the guys that made a mistake. He's not this well. Today, everybody's a Goyen. Today, everybody's a Goyen? Yeah.
So, So if they bury one of the coins, they have a dying coin in the middle of the cemetery, and he knows the tefillah that he'll have to go through other parts.
So he
shouldn't go in the first place, and even though it's mevatel the essay.
It was mekayim the essay. He went to the funeral home, right? Not mechayev to be there from the beginning to the end till they bury him. Lo yitama. He was there. He was there in the hearse. He was there at the hesped. You're not mechayev to be there the whole time. Yotze the mitzvah. You can't say I said dachal osasi. He doesn't have to be there from the beginning to the end. As to participate.
My son was a kohen. His father's buried in the corner where he can't. There's no grave. No, it's in the corner, and the, but he has no other graves. He goes, so he's able to go to the cavern.
The Koyanim are only permitted to be mitami to design kriyim up until they're buried. After they're buried, they're not allowed to go. So when they go to visit a kever, they have to stay dalar amos away. They have to stay dalar amos away. The Kohanim who want to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe's kever, they have a patent. They have a whole box. Mechitzas, yeah. Because we learned on the last daf, I think. No, next to the last daf. Where was it? Somewhere at the end of the Mesichta. I already forgot where it was. There was a Tosfos that Tosfos had a girsa in the Gemara. Whoa, it's not at all. I forgot where it is. There was a Tosfos at the end of Masechta where Tosfos pointed out, no, it's at the end somewhere, that the din that a mace, let's say there's a mace inside the funeral home and there's no awning outside. If there's an awning, then the coin can't go under the awning because they're going to open the door sooner or later. So even though the door is closed now, that's called Seif Tumah Latzeis. Since they're going to open the door, so there's already a Tumah under the awning now. So let's say the coin's not going to go under the awning. The coin will walk right in front of the funeral home and he sees the hearse right inside. He's Tochtal Aramis of the mace, but there's a big wall in between. So Tosfos said, based on the Gemara, the whole din de Rabbanan that a mace is mitame, toch dal ramis is a gzerim de Rabbanan that you may, without realizing it, I may stretch out my hand over the mace without realizing it. I may stretch out my hand, that's called tumas ohel. The three kinds of ohel. Either I am leaning over the mace, or the mace is carried over my head, or me and the mace are both under the same ohel, under the same roof. So I may, by mistake, stretch out my hand. So how far can you stretch your hand? So the furthest you can stretch is dal ramis. More than dalar amos, they will never go. So Tosfos has the gears and the Gemara. What if there's a wall that's mapsik in between? So you can't stick your hand through the wall. So whenever there's a wall, so in Shulchan Aruch they quote this Tosfos, they will never go to the tumah toch dalar amos. So the Lubavitcher, some of them have this patent. They all want very much to visit the kever of the tzaddik. So they walk with a box that has walls around it. They wear the box by their shoulders, on their shoulders, and the box has walls around it. So there's a wall mapsik between the koyin and the kever. So even though it's tocht al arams to the kever, but whenever there's a wall that's mapsik, so they were never goyzer. So that's a questionable heter. The wall, if you have a wall mapsik that's attached to the ground, then they were never goyzer. But if you're walking around with a walking wall, so the heter even applies in such a case. So that's, there are those who are lenient and others who hold not so. The heter doesn't apply in such a case. That's a shaila. So Nachama, we left off the middle of the Mishnah Chav Gimel Amanal. Mishnah is giving off differences halacha lemaisa between a kohen and a kohen. So one of the differences was by the tiny letter Vav in Zion. Kohenis matam lemaisim vein akoyim matam lemaisim. A kohenis, a bas kohen is permitted to go to a funeral, provided she doesn't bring her little brother along, or she doesn't bring her little son along. She's not allowed to bring tanim. That's emma v'amarta lahazik doy l'malak tanim. You're not allowed to be metami a coin cut. Ben a coin metami l'meis. A male coin is not allowed to be metami l'meis. And the Rambam says included in this that the only male kohanim are prohibited to be metami, and kohenis is not prohibited. Included in this is that only male kohanim are mechuyev to be metami to the seven relatives, and everybody else, Levi, Yisrael, or even kohenis, not mechuyev in lo yitama. The mitzvah of lo yitama to me mitam and mesim, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah only applies by zichre kuna who are usually muzer ala tuma. So by participating in the kvur, they demonstrate kovad ames, kovad abrias, by being mechalal kedushas kuna. But if she's a bas koyin and she's not muzer shelo letame, so she doesn't accomplish anything by being mitame to the dinkum. So the Rambam holds there's no mitzvah. The Rabbi disagrees. The Rabbi disagrees with the Rambam. That's where we started. Kachi kachim means chatos osham or shiari mincha. Mincha is a kachi kachim. So shiari menachas aroni nechal tezichri kohuna. A kohenis is not permitted to eat. What are other differences between men and women? The physiological differences. The women carry the babies. The women nurse the babies. The men don't. What are differences in halacha between ma benish liisha? Not in the area of kohanim. So the Mishnah is going to list off a lot of differences. Ish pareo foreim, benisha paras ufarem. This means if a man or a woman is tomei tumas mitzayra, so they have the same level of tuma. They have to go chutz l'shalosh machnas. They're not allowed to enter Yerushalayim or ayoras hamakafes chayma. But there's one particular aspect of tumas tzaras of the nihugim that only applies to the men, not to the women. Rosh ha'yir farua ubgadav yir farumim. He's not allowed to take a haircut. Rosh ha'yir farua ubgadav yir farumim. He has to rip kriya. He has to have torn begodim. So a woman who happens to be tomei tumas tzaras is not obligated. She doesn't have to tear her begodim. If a relative dies, so that men and the women have to rip kriya. So the Gemara has a whole machleg. So what do you mean? A woman's going to rip kriya. So she's going to be all undressed. So one Tana says she shouldn't rip kriya. So she should wear a sweater over. She should rip kriya. Usually, yeah. You rip kriya, turn it around. Yeah. Usually the men don't rip kriya properly. Forget about the women. The Chevra Kadisha are not careful. They don't even rip kriya properly on the men. The mezalzel in the didim of kriya. So here, if a relative dies, the women are also mechuyev to rip kriya. But if the woman is a mitzvah, she doesn't have the mitzvah for emes to rip kriya. She doesn't have the mitzvah paras to let the hair grow. What's another difference in halacha between men and women? Uish mader is beno benozer, uish mader is beno benozer. A man has a young son who is before bar mitzvah. He can declare, usually, isha uisha kiafli linda neda nozer lahazel Hashem. A man or a woman who accepts upon himself or herself to become a nozer. How can I say, I want you to become a nozer? Very nice. I want you to become a nozer. You're not mechuyev. Each person is a balabas on himself to accept to become a nozer. So there's a special halacha l'moshe mesina. That's how we assume. So halacha l'moshe mesina. The father has a right to declare that his son, before the age of bar mitzvah, should become a nozer. It doesn't apply. The mother can't do it, and the father can't do it on the daughter. Only a special halacha l'moshe mesina, the father on the son. Uish mader is beno benozer. He can declare his son as a nozer. And at the end of the 30 days, he'll bring the karbonas on his ears, regular nozer. And the mother cannot do it, and the father can't do it on the daughter either.
Why does the Mishnah mention about a daughter?
Why doesn't it mention?
It doesn't.
Good kasha. In there, in nozer, it says, in nozer daf chavches, there it's spelled out more. There it's spelled out more, that the father can't even be mother the daughter, only the father with the son. I don't know, the Mishnah left out a lot. Then it says another, then Huish Megalech on the Zira Sabah Inish Megalachas on the Zira Savia. This is also, we assume this halacha Moshe Messina. So Rabbi Yechanan says like that. The din like this. Let's say the father was Mechal Shabbos B'Shoigig, and he sets aside a carbon chatas, and he dies before he has a chance to bring the chatas. So the son was also Mechal Shabbos. They're both Mechal Shabbos together. So the son, the father dies, and he has a chatas roaming around. He can't be Makar en Kapor Lameisim. So the son yarshins everything from the father. So can he take the chatas and be makrivit for his? So the halacha says no. Let's say the father was mechal Shabbos b'shoigig and he ate chaylev b'shoigig and he set aside a chatas for the chilul Shabbos. He can't bring the chatas for the dam. If you are mafrish the chatas for this chilul Shabbos, you can't bring it for a different aver. Let's say mechal Shabbos b'shoigig on Parshas Shmos and mechal Shabbos b'shoigig on Parshas Va'era. He sets aside a carbon chatas for the chilul Shabbos. He turned on the lights and then he drove a car. Whatever, two different malachas he did. So you can't, if you're mafrish the chatas for one avera, you can't be miskaper for a different avera. So if the father was mafrish a chatas for his avera, of course the son cannot bring the chatas for his avera. They're two different averas. But here there's halach on Moshe Mesinai. If the father is a nozer and the son is a nozer, the father set aside carbonus, the only mechuyev to bring the carbonus and zeris at the end of the 30 days, or however, 30 years, however long he accepted upon himself to become a nozer. So he can designate the karbonis in the middle of the 30 days, but you don't makrov them until after the 30 days are up. So the father set aside karbonis and he dies before he doesn't live so long to bring the karbonis. So here's halacha l'moshe mesinai, that the son, if it's a daughter or not, and if it's a mother with a son, special din. Habein megaleach on the zirus aviv. Vein isha megalachas on the zirus aviv. If it's the mother or it's the daughter, the din doesn't apply. Special halacha. The bein can bring the karbonis that the father designated for his naziris. So the halacha that says we allow the son to be makir of those karbonis. That's what the Gemara there has a discussion. The Gemara there knows it has a discussion. A funny case. The father and two sons, all three are nazirim. So the father died, and then the two sons are nazirim. So what do they do with the karbonis of the father? Do they divide it even, Stephen? Well, let's say one of them is a pchor. Is he entitled to pishnayim and the karbonis are nazir? So the Gemara raises all kinds of logical possibilities. So one of the logical possibilities is kol ha-kaidim zacha. One of the possibilities is the two sons who survived the father, whose naziris is up first. Whoever's naziris is up first, he can use all the father's. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik once had a shaila. There was a prominent Hasidic Rebbe passed away, and he was buried in Eretz Yisrael in the Chelkas HaRabbonim, where he deserved to be buried. And then next to him, he bought another Chelka, he bought another spot. And his wife isn't going to be buried there, because in that area they have the men separately, different areas. Sometimes they have the men with the women, sometimes they have separate. So the father had bought two spots, and the spot was going to be used by one of his sons. So he had three sons. So one son, the first two sons had smicha. The first son had smicha, and he was in nursing homes business. The second son had smicha, and he took over the Rebbe's, the father's position as Rebbe. He is now known as that XYZ Rebbe, a prominent Rebbe. And the third son was younger, so the third son wasn't in the running. So the oldest son, who had smicha from YU, felt, I'm the Pchor, I should have the schus to be buried next to the father. The second son said, but I'm the Rebbe. The first son was in nursing homes, he was in business. Second son felt, I'm the Rebbe, so I should have the schus to be buried next to the father. So the first son wanted to go to the RCA Bezdin, and the second son, because he was from YU, so the second son didn't trust the RCA Bezdin, because they're going to favor him. Second son was from Aguda, he's a Chassidish Rebbe now. He wanted to go to the Aguda Rabbonim, so the first son didn't trust the Aguda Rabbonim. So they both made up, they'll go to Rav Soloveitchik. So they came to the Rav, said, the Rav kept my psak, kol ha-kodim zocha. So, as it turns out, the oldest son died before the second son, but he realized on his own that it wasn't right. He was in business, and the second son is the Rebbe now. So he bought himself a plot in Beit Shemesh, where the YU have their makom. And he passed away. He was buried over there. The second son is now the Rebbe. Yeah. So that psak, Rav Soloveitchik said that was the psak, that was a traditional psak in Europe. He said he wasn't inventing it. He said this kind of a shaila, the traditional psak was kol ha-kodim zocha. So that's based on this Gemara in Nazir, by this din. Habei megaleach on the zira saviv, so there in Nazir, daf lamed, the Gemara has that shaila. What if the father dies, he was a Nazir, he set aside karbanos, and he has two sons? And one is a pchor, one is not. But whose even aziris ends first, so the Gemara has one side to say, kol ha-kodim zocha. So
he said, the
Gemara has a discussion. How do you negotiate? Yeah.
What kind of bialus is it? If you have kishas guf lo yisbeach on these behemoths, it goes be yerusha anyway. What does he have? If you can't get enough from it anyway, you only let it be as a carbon.
That's a very strong question. He's asking, what are you talking about, Yerusha on the Karbonis? It's Hegdish. So how do you have Yerusha? So there's a famous comment from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik based on the Tosfos in Baba Kam in the beginning, in the Perek Meruba, that there's a fundamental difference between Kotche Berek Abayis and Kotche Mizbech. Kotche Berek Abayis, you donate money to Hegdish, it belongs to Hegdish. That's for maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. Kotche Mizbech belong to the person, the Bala Karban, but it has Kedusha. Let's say you have a mezuzah on your door, or you have a pair of tefillin. So it has Kedusha. So it doesn't belong to you? No, the Kedusha is, the mezuzah is yours, you own a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah is yours. So if you own Karbanos, the Karbanos are yours. The Gemara has a Lashon. Karbanos, before you magdish it, may Korah Torah deruvim, hash the Torah deruvim. Before you are magdish it, the shor belonged to Reuven, I'm Reuven. And after a magdish, it still belongs to Reuven. But if you're magdish leberek abayis, that's like giving it to someone else. It's a different bialus. So that's why The Gemara talks in many places about Yerusha by Karbanos, because the Karbanos do belong to the Bala Karban. The man is Magdish a Karban, it's not like Magdish Kesh to Berek Abayis. Berek Abayis doesn't belong to me. Magdish a Karban still belongs to me. So there's what to discuss by the Yerusha. Yeah, very little, but very. He's the Bailim with respect to being Yotze de Kapara. So when he dies, that bailus goes over the Yerusha to the children. So that's in discussion. What if there's more than one child? How do you negotiate? Yeah, we'll have to save the rest for next week. The Mishnah continues with additional differences between men and women. And then the Tosos on Amid Beis, Ma Bein Ish LeIsha, gives B'Tosefta K'Choshev more. The Tosefta has many more differences between men and women. That a man has to dress like a man and a woman has to dress like a woman. And a man has to take a haircut like a man, and a woman has to take a haircut like a woman. Many more differences. We'll leave that in next week. We'll continue. In last week's Sedra and Parsha's bow, there were two psukim that are very similar, but they're not identical. It says, when Bnei Israel listened to Moshe Rabbeinu to bring the Korban Pesach, so he says, "Bnei Yisrael lasa kashatzi b'Hashem es Moshe." When they had the mitzvah to knock on the next neighbor's doors and to ask for matonis, so they felt uncomfortable, but they did so. So it says, "Bnei Yisrael lasa kidvar Moshe." They did as Moshe Rabbeinu said. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva points out, why is there a shinu loshen? How come here it says kidvar Moshe and there it says kashatzi b'Hashem es Moshe? So he and Nikdusha Slevi usually has chsidis. Here he has Adar Hapshat. So he says that Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, Ein Loshen Tzav, Ein Loshen Ziris, Miyad Uledoiris. He's quoting Tanoim from the Sifro Toras Kohanim. So the word mitzvah is a technical term that means a mitzvah which is binding throughout all the future generations. If you have a mitzvah to knock on a next door neighbor's door and to ask for matonis, that's only once in the history of the world, on Erev Pesach v'Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's not farechent as a mitzvah. The Rambam says, Harei mismatcha alayam uvko'ehu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to do Kriyas Yamsuf. That was once in the history of the world. They had a din not to leave over the mon. That was only during the 40 years in the Midbar. Even if the mon would fall down today, you're allowed to leave over for the mon for tomorrow. Whenever you have a Hayra Shor, that's not included in the listing of the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, so the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he lists off the 14 Klolim and the 14 Sharoshim, the guidelines, what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs doesn't belong. So the Rambam says you only include mitzvahs from the Torah, you don't include mitzvahs from the Rabbanon, you only include mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations. Whatever is only Hayra Shor doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Kedushas Levi says, Korban Pesach is a din l'doiras. There were a couple of details of Pesach Mitzrayim that didn't apply l'doiras. Masnechem chagurem na'alechem b'raglechem ma'kelchem b'yadchem ha'chaltem osa b'chipozen al yetzish m'pesach b'esach b'oike. These were only harashah. Mikcham b'ba'osar, they had a bite on the 10th and shechted on the 14th. That these are only dinim harashah. But the main din of the Korban Pesach was a din of Korban Pesach l'doiras. So that's why the pasuk can say, "Bnei Yisrael asu kashatzi b'Hashem es Moshe." They fulfilled the mitzvah. But knocking on the next door neighbor's doors to ask for matonis, that was purely hayrashah. So you can't say "Bnei Yisrael asu kashatzi b'Hashem es Moshe." That's the wrong verb. So it says "Bnei Yisrael asu kidvar Moshe." That was a nevuah. That's exactly the difference between a nevuah. Nevuah by definition means hayrashah. The Menachas Chinuch has this strong kasha. This is Rav Soloveitchik said this when he delivered the hesped for his uncle, Rav Elvala. This was part of the big hesped, and he said this years earlier. He said this. The Menachas Chinuch is bothered with a kasha. We have a din in the Mishnah. If a Novi gives you an instruction and tells you, I got a nevuah, you have to sell your shares in AT&T and invest the money in chocolate ice cream or something. So whatever the Navi says, you have to listen. If you violate it, Yichai Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Menachas Chinuch is bothered with a kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu given a Navi. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said is Oiv Al-Divrei Navi. So if a person talks Loshon Hara, some of my best friends talk Loshon Hara, a person talks Loshon Hara, Yichai Misa B'dei Shamayim. person wakes up late and he doesn't say Kriya Shema Bizmano, he's over al divrei novi chayim misa v'dei shamayim. So who is not chayim misa v'dei shamayim? Only if you violate dinim de rabbana. Whoever violates any din de raisa, Moshe Rabbeinu gizok, Moshe Rabbeinu was a novi. How can it be? It's impossible.
There's a difference between
Moshe,
what he said out
in the
Atzma, and what he said
in the
Piagvur.
No, everything. He says everything. But all the dinim deraisa is takoy v'al divrei novi. It can't be. So the Minchas Chinuch gives a teretz, and the Ragat Shav, everybody gives teretz. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a teretz years ago, and now that's the popular teretz. The people already forgot that it comes from Rav Soloveitchik. So he said the Torah says Eivrad Divrei Novi means if the Novi tells you Hayru Ashur, so whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said as a Hayru Ashur, the Haka would be Misa B'dei Shamayim. Whoever wouldn't want to knock on the next door neighbor's door's case for Matonis would be Eivrad Divrei Novi. But whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says B'Torah's Torah, if it's binding the Doris, that's by definition that's not called Eivrad Divrei Novi. Eivrad Divrei Novi means if it's only B'Torah's Hayru Ashur. If it's Lidurus, then it's Oivan Mitzvahs. And Mitzvahs have a whole system. Some have Kori, some have Mitzvah De Shemaim, some have Mrs. Bezin, some have Malkus, different onsh. So that's a void from the Kedushas Levi explaining the Shini Loshim. That in conjunction with the Bezos Mitzrayim, it says, B'nai Yisrael also Kiddvar Moshe, because that was Hayra Shor, that was a Nevuah. And with respect to Korban Pesach, it says, B'nai Yisrael also Kashativ Hashem is Moshe. And today's Sedra, it says, B'nai Yisrael also kashativ Hashem is Moshe, that they, with respect to the mon, that the mon came down every day, and they didn't leave it over to the next day. Some of the wise guys left it over to the next day. Dasam Avim left it over to the next day, and Vayoram Toloim Vayivash it got spoiled, and there were worms developed in it. So the rest of the B'nai Yisrael observed what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And on Friday, they had to leave over for Shabbos, so they all left over for Shabbos. So the Loshon of the Pasuk says, B'nai Yisrael Loshon, Kasa Chiv Hashem is Moshe. How can it be? That's purely Hayru Ashur. The whole thing is Hayru Ashur. So, how can the Pasuk use such a term, B'nai Yisrael Loshon, Kasa Chiv Hashem is Moshe, if you're dealing with the Hayru Ashur? So I think maybe the answer is, the different possibilities, maybe the answer is that there is to leave over for Shabbos. That is a din. You have to make preparations for Kedusha. To the extent that you make more hachonis in advance, you will be able to experience the Kedusha more so. So there's a mitzvah of kibud v'yoinik in connection with Shabbos, a pasuk in Yeshayah. So oinik, what's the difference between oinik and kibud and oinik? So the Vilna Gaon explains in the Rambam, oinik is the pleasure that you enjoy on Shabbos, that you eat the delicious food and the house is clean and the table is set and so on. And kibud means that you took a shower in advance and you set the table in advance and you put up the cholent and you lit the candles in advance. All the hachonas that you do in advance, that's called kibud. And the fact that you enjoy the pleasant atmosphere of Shabbos, that's called oinig. So this is a din l'doris. The din is, whenever it comes to an inyan of kedusha, you have to make hachonas in advance. There's a famous gemara. The Gemara says that two of the Amoraim were debating with each other who is the greater Marbitz Torah. So one of them said, if the Torah would be forgotten, I would be able to be Machzeh B'Pulpuli. I have such a Koyach HaPilpul, I'd be able to reconstruct all the halachas that would be forgotten. And then Rab Chiya, they're both students of Rabbi Yehuda Anosi, Rab Chiya says, I'll do better than you. I will see to it that the Torah will not be forgotten. How will he see to it? So he says, I will plant bushes of flax, and I will harvest the flax, and I'll make nets to trap animals. I'll trap deer, I'll shech the deer, and I'll remove the hide, and I'll make parchment, and I'll write Sifrei Torah, and I'll take a group of children and teach them Bereishis, and I'll take another group, teach them Shmos, and take another group, teach them Vayikra, and I'll tell them each one should teach the other one, and the Torah will not be forgotten. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, why do they have to plant the flax? Like Chad Gadya, going to plant the flax and going to manufacture the net and he's going to catch the deer and he's going to shech the deer, he's going to skin it and he's going to make the parchment, he's going to write the Sifrei Torah. Buy some Sifrei Torah and teach, buy Bereishis Shmos, and teach the children. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon, when it comes to Inyan Kedusha, the more hachonis you do in advance, so the more the Kedusha will take root. the more successful you'll be in doing the kedusha. So that's takeh din l'darvis, that you have to prepare for Shabbos in advance. Shouldn't just come in. People go to a hotel for Shabbos, so you don't do anything in there, just drive in, right? And everything is taken care of. You should always try to do as much hachanas in advance as possible, to the extent that a person makes more hachanas on Erev Shabbos, so to that extent he will be able to absorb the Kedusha more on Shabbos. That's why the Chassidim go to Mikvah on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara just says, Chai Baram Tairatzma Berego, on Shabbos Regom. Well, you have to go for Shabbos. They feel Nocha Hachana, they do another Hachana. You should all try to make as many Hachanas as possible.
That's why you also dive in late in the morning, because you're already doing it.